Blog Talk Radio.
The videotape show. I am. Closer. Heaven Hollywood Clark. Welcome back. Happy 2015 to all the sports fanatics out there. As I'm wiping away the tears from my eyes every time I hear that song, I just get so pumped up, you know, the chills of being a sports fan comes out of me. Reminds me of that turn of the century video, which if you're a sports fan, you have to see if you have not saw it. You have to go on to YouTube, type in ESPN turn of the century highlights and memories, or type in sing for the moment. With that, you'll definitely find it. So I just thought it would be perfect to start off our 2015 SLV show with that song. My co-host, the comic, is unable to be with us today of obligations. But I have my partner in crime with me from the Benchwarmers podcast, the owner and creator of Benchwarmers podcast. Also, you can catch him on Dollhouse Radio as well, all over the place. None other than my PIC, your partner in crime, Jimmy Ace.
Hey, what's up? About time, after like a month. Oh, boy.
Definitely.
Holy crap.
Finally back.
Finally.
Our first show of 2015.
Yes.
Finally, the SLV show has come back to Dollhouse Radio.
Let me give it
justice. It doesn't matter what you other radio stations are doing.
Let me give it justice. Finally, SLV has come back to Dollhouse Radio.
There you go. Great. That was good stuff.
By the way,
no, it's
what
not
is
the
your
Rock
name?
Live, but it's better.
By the way, what is your name? What is your name?
Well, my name is...
It doesn't matter what your name is. good old days.
That's the good old days. So we're back here on Dollhouse Radio, the SLV show, the all-new SLV show, starting over fresh, episode one. Forget all those other episodes.
Yeah,
this is episode one. I don't even remember. I don't even know what happened last week. I remember the last show we had.
I remember what happened 5 minutes ago.
We're starting off fresh, episode one. That's our V show. 6:30, we'll have, since it is now, we had him at the beginning of the year, and we'll have him again at 6:30 to preview the playoffs.
Ah.
Boys Football Rob.
Hey.
Join us at 6:30 to preview the championship games.
Mm.
And maybe we can get him to apologize to the Lions. I mean, but does he really owe them an apology? Because, they played better than what he expected. But in the playoffs, they did the same old Lions thing. Now,
you
can't really say with the same old Lions because they actually got to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about this on the podcast. That call was a bad call. It wasn't the reason why they lost, but I did think it fucked with their head a little bit. It messed with their heads a little bit. Excuse me. I think it did a little bit, but it's no excuse because they had 10 million chances. They couldn't stop the Cowboys. I mean, there was that other apology from the NFL. Oh, we're sorry. We missed that whole thing.
8 minutes left in the game, though.
I mean, I know. It wasn't like the Cowboy
time
one.
To recover from that.
Yeah, it wasn't like Dez Bryant. That's another backhaul. Oh, my God.
Right.
Ugh, that's worse. That was like only 4 minutes left. A little over 4 minutes left in that game, fourth quarter. Ugh.
All right.
So anyway, I don't care. The Cowboys lost.
We got a lot of things to go into and touch on, and it's going to have to be quickly because there's a lot of stuff. 6:30, Football Rob. We're going to go right into our breakdown of this upcoming week. So after all is said and done, 9 months in, and we're sitting with four teams left, and that is the Green Bay Packers, the Seattle Seahawks, the New England Patriots, and Indianapolis Colts. Now, I would say the four best teams, but, if Denver plays that game and Peyton Manning's healthy, don't want to take anything from the Colts. But if they play that game over 10 times, Denver probably wins 7 of those times, but they don't play 10 times. That's why it's, any given Sunday or Saturday now.
Yeah, or
so
Thursday.
So Andrew Luck, pretty much the torch
Monday.
Is passed over to from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, and we'll see if Peyton Manning comes back. I believe he will.
I believe he won't.
We'll get into that a little bit. But 3 p.m. Sunday, in Seattle, CenturyLink Field, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers going up against
A-Rod.
Russell Wilson.
Oh, come on, A-Rod.
Russell Wilson, a.k.a. Bruno Mars. So
he does look like Bruno Mars.
As we know,
good one, man.
As we know, last week Aaron Rodgers was, there was a lot of talk and a lot of speculation, a lot of worried people that he would not be 100%, which he was not. But as the game went on, if you notice in the second half, Aaron Rodgers started to look like Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, yes,
so,
he did.
Dallas got no pressure on him. He picked him apart. I believe he hit his last 15 passes, somewhere along those lines. And a lot of people say, well, we know about the bad call. We don't. No need to discuss that again. We've discussed it at arm's length over and over.
Super rule.
But
super rule.
My thing is, a lot of people saying, well, if Rodgers got the ball back, he would have scored anyway. Yeah, maybe.
We don't know
It's a little hard to say, but we don't know that. Dallas could have got a lot of people. See, people kill me just because you have to realize that just because Aaron Rodgers is putting the ball on the money, you ever heard of somebody dropping a pass and it tipping off their fingertips into the hands of a waiting defender? We've seen it all the time. So it doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers would have messed up. But you mean you have to also depend on the other 10 guys on the field with you.
Especially having, when we've seen this in the past with Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs, that he has spit the bit, especially against my Giants. So
right.
It has happened in his career.
And now,
so.
Dallas didn't look like they were going to stop. But you know what? Aaron Rodgers could be driving the length of the field, and then he throws a perfect pass. It tips off of Devontae Adams' head and into Dallas Cowboys' head. I mean, that doesn't mean that's Aaron Rodgers' fault, but it has nothing to do with everything has to go right at that point in time.
Yeah.
So Green Bay, by the letter of the law, it was not a catch. That rule does need to be changed.
Only reason why.
We'll see. In the other game, which was the better game, and a game that the Baltimore Ravens still have to be kicking themselves, I'm kicking myself because I hate the Patriots. I'm a Steelers fan, and people say, how do you hate the Patriots more than the Ravens? Well, up until this year, the Ravens have never beaten the Steelers in the playoffs. So I have no reason to hate the Ravens. I loved seeing the Ravens in the playoffs because they had never beaten us. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers have been beating us since Mike Tomczak was our quarterback, and they had Drew Bledsoe.
Wow. Oh, my God, that's going back.
They've beaten us with Bledsoe. They've beaten us with Brady. it's like that is the one team that I hate more than any of my division rivals.
Yeah, you know, that's the only team left that I want to lose. Anybody else, I don't mind who gets in the Super Bowl, but I do not want to see the Patriots there. I mean, we'll get to our predictions, but, you know, I just don't want to see it. I hate them. And then people will ask me, well, you're a Giants fan. How can you hate the Patriots? And you beat the Patriots twice. In 40,
right.
Super Bowl 42 and 46. I said, yeah, but I hate New England. anything Boston, I hate. I hate the Celtics, I hate the
right.
White Sox.
That's
I hate the
Bruins. That's a true Yankee fan for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't give a crap about hockey, and I hate the Bruins. So that just shows you that I just hate anything Boston. Boston College, you know, anything. Anything with Boston, I just can't stand. I respect the fans, though. Very creative,
right.
Very supportive fans. Maybe the best in the country, may I dare say. But the teams, I just can't stand. I just can't. I'm sorry. Just being honest.
So the Tom Brady leads the New England Patriots. You know, they're at home against the surprise. Well, you know, surprising everyone else. But we actually did pick them to go to the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
I had the Colts in the Super Bowl, even though I got to admit, I did not expect to play out this way. I thought the Colts would have a home field advantage. And I expected New England to get beat by Denver, which that didn't happen.
Well,
and, of course, it's going to be a little hard at this point for the Saints to be in the Super Bowl, so that might not be true.
Oh, my 49ers. Or the 49ers, I picked to win it all.
But,
boy.
What kind of – 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest chance, what kind of chance do you give Andrew Luck to go into New England where they'll probably wet down the field, you know, have the snow blow already, you know, turn it. There'll be something that they're doing over there to uneven the playing field, like they always do, put water on the field right before the visiting team comes out. What type of a chance do you give Andrew Luck, who has a little magic going right now and also – holds the record now for the most passing yards in his first 3 years in NFL. What type of chance do you give Andrew Luck of going into New England and upsetting the Pats?
Well, like you said, we both, before the season started, picked them to represent the AFC. So, obviously, we would take the Colts. And anybody that's betting, last time I checked, they gained 6 points. So... because I predicted they would represent the AFC, the Colts in the Super Bowl, I'm picking them. But deep down in my heart, I say Andrew Luck has at least 50%. I think a lot of it has to do, if the weather is bad, I think his chances go up at least another maybe 15-20%. Maybe 70%.
If the weather is bad, you say it favors Luck?
I don't know why I feel that way, because I know Brady, I know they all play in that weather, but it gives an even playing field, I feel. I mean, that's how I feel. And the Colts defense has been playing very well, like as of late. But they are going to New England.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Kind of remind me of that. I'm sorry for cutting you off. Kind of remind me of the run that they put together defensively the year that they actually won the Super Bowl.
Yes, against the Bears. Yes, in Super Bowl 41. Correct.
Yep.
In Miami.
So,
I think it all depends on their defense. Regardless of weather, I think it all depends on their defense. Only because, like I said, only because I predicted they will go to the Super Bowl. So it's like by default, I'm picking the Colts. But deep down in my heart, I think the Patriots are going to win. Only because Andrew Luck, I think, is still wet behind the ears a little bit. I don't think he's to that next level just yet. He's there. He's going to be the man of the NFL, no doubt about it. But I think I have a bad feeling that that Tom Brady and Belichick are going to go back to the Super Bowl. I have a bad feeling.
Andrew Luck, a.k.a. the Geico caveman.
what do you think about that? You think the Patriots are going to go back to the Super Bowl?
I mean, like I said, like you agree with what you said, I picked Andrew Luck at the beginning of the season, so I must have thought he was special enough to make it there.
Well, true.
Else I wouldn't have picked him. So I'd be very hypocritical if I now say, well, the moment's going to be too big for him when I picked him at the beginning of the season. I knew at some point this point would have to come. You know, so I'm going to stay with my pick, but like you, if I was giving a mulligan – and they said, right now you can change your pick. You get a chance to change your pick. I'd probably change my pick.
I totally agree.
But
I mean, if this was in Indianapolis, I would say Luck's chances would be at least 75%.
Right. I would still change my pick. However, you know, because as we see, this would be his. He's taking the actual stair step effect. First year in, he got into the playoffs, didn't win a game. Second year in, he got into the playoffs, won one game. Third year, he got in, he's won two games. So it's now he would be way ahead of schedule if he won this championship game. Next year is supposed to be the year he goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would think so. Even though we did say they would go this year. Now, real quickly, I still feel, let's say the Broncos would have beaten the Colts last week. I would still feel the Patriots still win because Peyton Manning, when he goes to New England, doesn't have a great record as far as history-wise going to New England, you know, whether he was a Colt or a Bronco. If that was in Denver, it would be a totally different story, as you saw last year when they totally dismantled them, you know, last year when they faced them. But I feel that way. And it's funny. I think the Colts have a little bit of a better chance than the Broncos would have if they would have been still alive, which is crazy to say that because the Broncos have a better defense. It didn't show in this game, but against the Colts. But as far as experience, you know, going by experience. But like you said, the Colts are on one of those magic carpet rides, like, you know, like the Giants those 2 years, the Steelers that 1 year, you know, Packers when they didn't have to have everybody hurt. And they still beat your team. Sorry to say. You know,
right.
Sorry.
It's kind of like the thing is about this. So the Colts. I'm trying to think back. When was the last time that we had a run like this where you knew this was 90% Andrew Luck? I mean, you know, this is 90% the quarterback. The other teams, you know what? The Giants didn't go on that run strictly because of Eli Manning.
No, it was defense.
So the Steelers didn't go on that run strictly because of Ben Roethlisberger.
No, it was not.
I'm trying to think, when was the last time we had a guy that they said, you know what? It's strictly because of this guy. He's carrying the team. You know,
Maybe Drew Brees with the Saints? I don't know. I'm trying to think. Maybe Drew Brees when they win that run?
Maybe. I mean, that might be the closest thing because Drew Brees didn't really have – I mean, he had Jimmy Graham.
True.
Indianapolis, T.Y. Hilton is a very good receiver. He's not considered a top receiver yet. And on top of that, he's going to have Darrelle Revis on him. So my thing is this. And people are going to say, would you say who's the key? To me, the key player in this game, and he's done nothing for about 10 weeks, to me, is Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne is supposed to be a Hall of Fame wide receiver. He's done nothing last 10 weeks. He's been beat up this whole entire season. He was talking about retirement just 5 weeks ago, talking about after the season, I might think about this might be it. If Reggie Wayne can give them anything to take the pressure off of worrying about T.Y. Hilton. You know, Luck is going to have to definitely spread the ball around. And I'll tell you another guy who's going to be very important, and he's looking fat and slow, is former Giant Hakeem Nicks. He did catch a touchdown last week. So Andrew Luck is going to pretty much have to hit, you know, Allen and Fleener and Heron out the backfield and a little Reggie Wayne and a little Hakeem Nicks. And if he can hit T.Y. Hilton, win a pair, you know, then do it. But you can't take chances like Flacco did.
Every 2 minutes
you were hearing he's never thrown a pick in the playoffs. Intercepted.
It always happens 9 times out of 10. It's amazing how that happens. It's amazing.
You cannot,
no matter what
you
sport.
Have to allow the Patriots to give you to take what they give you. And on defense, I'm sorry, you have to allow them to feel as though they can run the ball. Because if they feel as though they can run, the Patriots do not stop running the ball, at least, as you seen last week, they gave it at least one half. You know, at least one half. So, you know, they're going to pull out all the stops. Every route is a short route. You have to. You cannot miss tackles with the Patriots. You cannot. And that was the Baltimore Ravens' problem last week. They missed every single big tackle. Every third and seven, every third and five. You know, the Pats, they go into this hurry-up, and my thing is this. Get your guy when you put your guys on the field, put them on the field. Put the guys on the field that you would have on third and fourth down. I'll put them on first down. Because the Patriots, especially if they get behind, they're going to go into a hurry-up, okay, and they're going to have your guys on the field that are usually on their first and second down. And you have to be ready. You know, you can't be, you know, caught off guard. You can't have the guys in on first down that should be in there on third down. You know, you have to be ready. You have to sit out there prepared for the hurry-up offense.
Yes, and like I said, the Colts almost have to play a flawless game, I think, for them to have any chance.
They have to. Andrew Luck cannot turn the ball over. That's been his issue.
I'm serious.
He won last week. He did turn the ball over twice. You're not going to beat the Patriots on the road if you turn the ball over two times. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'll give him.
I'll give the Colts one turnover. That's the only thing I'm allowing them.
It might take that.
It's going to be a little tough to play. It might be a little tough to play flawless, but.
Yeah, it's almost impossible.
One is the most they can give it away.
But no more than that. And here's another thing.
And hopefully not even that.
Do you see this as a close game at all?
Well, the only way that I see this as a close game, if I'm telling you right now, if the Colts, if Andrew Luck gets put into the same position that Joe Flacco was last week and he has the ball with the game on the line, I think Andrew Luck's winning the game.
Yeah, I think he's little smarter.
Yeah,
you know,
the
more,
Patriots, now, it has to be close in order for him to do that.
Yeah.
And if Luck and the Colts do not turn the ball over, I think during the end of the game it'll be close. That's going to be the big factor. Will they turn the ball over? And if they
do not,
if they don't, they'll stay in the game. And they have to get a little bit of a run from that running back by committee.
I think that Colts defense has to play a huge game. They have to get turnovers.
They have to get turnovers.
If the Colts don't get turnovers and play great defense, at least not great, but at least enough to slow the Patriots down, they have a shot.
Right.
Otherwise, they need turnovers, though. I think so.
They have to turn them over. To me, I tell you, it's funny, but I already have a number in hand. The Colts' number to me is 3. And this is what I said. They need 3 turnovers and at least 3 sacks of Tom Brady in order to win this game. They're going to need 3 turnovers and 3 sacks. I don't care what type of turnover they are. I don't care whether they're fumble recoveries, and out of those turnovers, they're going to need, in my opinion, out of those three turnovers, they're going to need at least 13 points.
Yeah,
I mean,
one touchdown
and two field goals.
Yes.
They're going to need 13 points off turnovers at least. They're going
to
need three sacks. They're going
to
need three turnovers in order for them to beat this team up in their building.
Yeah, I not only get turnovers, but score off those turnovers. Because if you just get those turnovers, don't do nothing with them, it's like you never did it. So you have to at least get 10 points off the turnovers.
I mean, I'm going to have to make a pick at 6:30. We have football. Rob is going to be on with us.
Okay.
I'm going to have to pick. You know, like I said, I'm going to stay with the Colts. Am I sure of it? No. If I could change it, if I had no dignity whatsoever, I would change my pick. But I'm going to stay with the Colts to win the game on an Andrew Luck last drive.
Oh,
I don't know whether
it's going to
be and how about this?
I hope so.
They lose the game on an Adam Vinatieri field goal at the gun in his old building.
How
great would that be? Final score.
Yeah, like 27-24 or something like that, or 21.
Yeah, the final. No,
you know,
I'm gonna say this. Final score. Colts win the game. Let's see, 27-26.
Ooh, by
1.2. Right, 1 point.
That'd be so great.
27-26. Colts in Gillette Stadium.
Yet,
and
in
Adam
New England.
Terry.
Yes.
Send New England home.
As the great Joe Beningo says, the guy who's a radio host on WFAN here locally in New York, from your lips to God's ears, bro.
So I have 27-26 Colts. What's your prediction on that game?
Yeah, I say, I agree exactly what you said. Only because I picked them before the season, I got to stay, got to be, you know, committed. I will say be close. I say the Colts will win. I say like maybe 24-21, something like that.
24-21 Colts.
Yeah, but deep down, I think the Patriots can win. I have a bad feeling.
First game, of course, is Green Bay at Seattle. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers has to be 100%.
Yes, you're in.
Now
the rematch of the first game of the week.
He feels better than last week.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's
he feels better than last week.
So they say.
I don't know. I have to really look into what the weather conditions is supposed to be at the start of the game.
That's the key, too. Absolutely.
We all know how Seattle performs in their building.
Yep.
You know, of course, you can talk about a guy carrying a team. That's Aaron Rodgers. You know.
No doubt.
He's basically their whole entire team.
No doubt about
that. That game will be 8 o'clock. Listen, I love Aaron Rodgers. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. But I'm going to tell you something. The Dallas Cowboys had them dead to rights last week.
They couldn't
put them away.
Thank God.
If they got any sort of pass rush, they got no pass rush on them. But you know what? This is not the Dallas Cowboys.
Nope.
The Seattle Seahawks will put pressure.
They will
get to them. They will make a move in the pocket.
Yes.
And they're in their building. Until I see someone beat them in their building, I'm sorry. I just can't see it. I can't buy it.
I totally agree.
I'm going with Seattle.
Yep. I agree.
To win the game against the Green Bay Packers, they will get a couple of turnovers, maybe even take one to the house. I like Seattle to win this game 27-19. I'll make it a little bit closer. Maybe Green Bay will get a garbage touchdown towards the end. But I'll say 27-19, Seattle.
Okay. I was about to say, you stole my final score. I was going to say. I real quickly, the blood's in the water. And now that Seattle knows about this with Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers won't be R-E-L-A-X. Relax. in his game. I would think they'd make him run out the pocket, which would aggravate the injury a little bit. Anybody that's betting, the Packers are getting 7.5 points. I think a lot of it has to do with Aaron Rodgers' injury, along with obviously them being in Seattle. Otherwise, it might have been a little lower. Maybe would have been like 5, 5.5, maybe something like that. But I would definitely give the points if I was betting or straight up, and I would definitely take Seattle. And I think they're going to win 27-17. I think they'll win by double digits, and they will go back to the Super Bowl to defend their crown. And like I said, it by default, it'll be Colts Seahawks, but I think it's going to be, unfortunately, Seahawks Patriots, unfortunately.
And I believe it will be Seahawks. And, I believe it will be Seahawks Patriots. I believe that it will be Pete Carroll going up against his predecessor, Bill Belichick.
That's true.
Going up against his old owner, and Robert Kraft.
Good point.
So I will pick Seattle, New England, in the Super Bowl, and of course we'll get to that prediction next week.
A couple of weeks,
but we'll win it.
Yeah.
So it's 6:30. What we're gonna do is have a special guest on.
Cool.
You have to remember his. He's checked in with us before. His Twitter handle is @football_Rob.
Good guy.
Great dude. Good, very good guy. Very knowledgeable in football.
Yes,
he's been on with us before. He's a contributor to Sports Talk Florida. Of course, then we are speaking with none other than Football Rob, and he is on the SLV show back with us again. Football Rob, welcome back.
It's great to be back, guys. Always fun talking football.
Absolutely. And Football Rob is on with us here on the SLV show. We're going to break down the preview of the championship games. Now, Football Rob, we're going to get your assessment. And I follow you on Twitter, so I'm seeing some of your comments. Real quickly on the catch or non-catch for Dez Bryant. Good, was it still, by the letter of the law, good call, but the rule needs to be changed, or do you actually think it was a catch?
I thought at first glance, I thought he bobbled the ball, and I thought it was an incomplete pass. And, it's just one of those things. It's like a gray area thing. We saw the Calvin Johnson ruling a few years ago on week one, and it's kind of the same thing. So, if Calvin Johnson's catch was ruled a no catch, then you have to stay consistent with it. Because if let's say they said, Dez Bryant, you did make a football move and that is a catch, then you open up a whole can of worms, and you have a huge gray area of what is a catch and what is not a catch. So to avoid all that confusion, I know Dallas fans don't want to hear it, but I think the NFL made the right call.
And we're talking to Football Robbie. I do also, the moment I saw it, and now when I first saw it, the catch, of course, before he put it in slow motion, I was like, oh, my God, what an amazing catch. But then when they saw it, I said, wait a minute. When I saw him come down, I totally agree with your point. The moment I saw him hit the ground, I said, oh, man, that's a chance that it could be incomplete. So I do believe, agree, even though I don't like the rule. I didn't like the rule with Calvin Johnson because it seemed like Calvin Johnson was even more of a catch. It seemed like he was more of trying to get up to celebrate when the ball scooted out of his hand. So I do agree that the right call was made. And, of course, not to dismiss me of the Dallas fans. But moving forward, Aaron Rodgers now, of course, Seattle, after beating Carolina, and Carolina, I have to admit, played a lot better than I thought. They really did play, under the circumstances, play a pretty good game. Now moving forward with Rodgers against Seattle, how do you see that playing out?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what Aaron Rodgers shows up, because remember in the first half against Dallas, he was kind of hobbled with the injury. Then the second half, I don't know what they did. Did they shoot him up with something, some unknown substance?
Right, he had to.
Because he looked a lot better. He just got healthier in 15 minutes. And, I wonder how that happened. But, all things considered, he's a terrific player, and I think he'll have a good game. But against this Seahawks team, this defense, they have great playmakers at all three levels on the D-line, the linebackers, and, of course, the secondary.
Yep.
I just think that they're going to be a handful. And I'm picking the Seahawks in this game. That defense, along with, oh, by the way, the number one attack in the NFL, I think that's going to be too much for them to handle. And they had a great season, but I'm picking Seattle to move on.
Totally agree with that. I just think in that building, coupled with Rodgers would have to be, you know, out of his mind. I have to play one of those type of games. And I just don't think that under his current health conditions, he'll be able to do that. He'd have to be Aaron Rodgers plus two, you know, in order to pull this off, my opinion. Switch it over to the AFC game. We had brought up early in the fact that I believe that the Baltimore Ravens really shot themselves in the foot. I believe they had New England beat. Bill Belichick pulls off another little wrinkle in the offense by exploiting a loophole that not too many people knew about, maybe just him. And they pulled off a victory over Baltimore. They now face Andrew Luck, an Indianapolis Colts, who pulled an upset over Denver. First and foremost, what do you feel about Peyton Manning coming back, and then we'll get into this matchup. Do you believe Peyton Manning will return for another season?
Yeah, I think he will. He had a really rough go of it the last few weeks. He was throwing, there were a couple of games where he didn't even eclipse a 200-yard passing mark. Usually he gets that in one half, for crying out loud.
Right.
So I don't think that he was 100% healthy down the stretch, and that really contributed to Denver getting bounced so early. So I think next year he'll be back healthy. But I would say this about Peyton Manning going forward. The Broncos would be foolish not to invest in a real deal running back. They can't get these.
Absolutely.
No, they can't do that anymore. They can't go get some free agent nobody from Target or, you know, Zales or some kind of Subway sandwich maker and think that he's going to be a running back. You need a real deal running back because Peyton Manning, he needs some help. And
right.
if they don't get that help, if they continue with these nobody running backs, you know, Ronnie Hillman and all these other nobodies that they keep throwing out there at running back, then they're probably going to be the same as they are this year. They're going to go, you know, 10, 11 wins, and then they'll get bounced in the first round again. So, you know, they really need a desperate upgrade. I think they missed No'Shawn Moreno more than they could ever imagine when
Absolutely.
He left
totally agree.
For Miami.
Totally agree. What do you see now about Andrew Luck? And like I said, he's at the beginning of the season, I actually picked the Colts to go to the Super Bowl. I thought it would be a little bit different road, but what do you think about Luck and his chances going into New England, knocking off the Pats in Gillette Stadium?
It's an uphill battle because, you look at their running game, Trent Richardson clearly hasn't worked out, so they're going to have to rely on Boom Heron, who I thought he looked injured. He got hurt, some kind of shoulder injury, but they didn't take him out of the game. He's their workhorse back, and he's, you know, I think he's a solid NFL backup, but if that's your bell cow running back, you don't really have a lot of help for Luck. And then, oh, by the way, their defense, 19th in the league in points allowed, so they're in the bottom half of the league, and you're going up against the greatest quarterback of the last, I don't know, 20 years. So, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle. I think if Andrew Luck is going to pull off this upset, he's going to have to play superstar football. He's going to have to throw for 400-some-odd yards and 5 touchdowns, and he's going to have to eliminate turnovers. He can't have one turnover in this game, or else the Colts are going to lose.
Wow. That's pretty much what we said. Jimmy A said, even when I said one turnover, Jimmy A said, oh, no. Not even one turnover.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, almost played perfect, which is almost impossible.
Right. So that sounds about right. 400-plus yards, Jimmy Ace, no turnovers. That's a good call. That's a good call by Rob. So you pretty much have, you're pretty much like right now, the most of the world is going to have. You pretty much see Seattle and New England advancing, going to the Super Bowl, and then we'll have you on prior to that to get your breakdown and analysis of that. Now let's swing real quickly to the New York Jets and their hiring, their firings and hirings. What did you think of the hirings for the Jets? And also real quickly on Rex swinging over upstate 8 hours north to the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I thought Rex had a good run with the Jets. I don't really have a whole lot of animosity towards Rex leaving. The writing was on the wall. The team was struggling, and he kind of ran out of his magic there. He had a couple of good, exciting seasons to start off, but then ended with a whimper. But I would say overall, all things considered, Rex Ryan is probably one of the most successful coaches in Jets history. I know that's not saying much. The history is not that good, but, you know, of all the coaches recently, Al Groh or somebody like, I don't know, Herm Edwards or Mangini, he's probably just about as good as any of the coaches before him. So I would give him a round of applause. And the new coach, Bowles, that they hired from Arizona, I like the move. I think that I'm really tired of the NFL with their retread coaches that have sucked for years and decades and
totally agree.
And the third and fourth and fifth chances. This is a guy that played in the league. He's coached in the league. He's done very well in Arizona. And he's a fresh new face on the block, and it's good. You know, I don't like – I'm glad they didn't go with some flashy name from college or some retread coach from the NFL like Mike Smith or something. So I think that was a good move for them.
And I totally agree. I think that – I think Bowles will do a good job over there. And if the Jets liked – if Jet fans loved Rex Ryan's aggressive defense – I believe I read Todd Bowles' team blitz more than any team in the NFL, and they doubled the Jets' blitzes. So he's going to have an aggressive defense over there. Not so in love right now with their OC. So bringing him, I think they could have did much better than that. But I like the hire of Bowles. What do you think is going to happen with Denver? I do see that they're the offensive coordinator is looking. They may be hiring him in Jacksonville. I've heard Gary Kubiak is right now probably a front runner to get that job, and him and John Elway are close friends. And my long shot, and I mentioned it on my other show, would Elway reach out to Shanahan, his old head coach?
That's true.
Which way do you think that's going down there in Denver?
I think the offensive coordinator is already on the team. It's Peyton Manning, right? He calls the shots, and that's all. You know, the coach is just a puppet, really. It's Peyton Manning's offense, and whoever they hire, that's really secondary. It's all about, is Peyton going to come back healthy and be the guy? And if he is, then they'll do fine. If he's not, then they're in big trouble.
And looking forward to the free agent pool. There's some big names out there. Jerry Jones came out and said that he sees it's going to be tough to hire re-sign both DeMarco Murray and Dez Bryant. Put yourself in Jerry Jones' spot. If you were Jerry Jones, Football Rob, would you re-sign DeMarco Murray or re-sign Dez Bryant?
Wow, if I could only keep one of them, just saying, who would I keep?
Yes.
You know what? I'd have to say I would keep Dez Bryant because,
totally
yeah, I would have to go with Dez because he's had a longer history of production. He's been a better player for a longer period of time.
Absolutely.
And DeMarco Murray, the knock on him when he came out of Oklahoma was injuries. That's the only reason he was first-round talent and he slipped in the draft, so... You know, as far as I'm concerned, I think you might have just hit lightning in a bottle with him, and
right.
he might, you know, he might go downhill next year or two. And we know that running backs don't have a very long lifespan anyway. So, you know, if I'm picking a guy going forward for my future of the two, I'm taking Dez all day.
Yeah, I totally agree, especially the way the game is now. If you don't mind having, I want to ask a question since I'm a Giants fan. I
sure.
Ask, yeah.
How about some Detroit Lions questions? I know. I know you wanna rip me for that, don't you?
Oh, that was fun.
Oh,
that
was the trouble. We were on our way. We were gonna let you get to the end and then say, oh, by the way. But
yeah, oh, by the way, Rob.
Oh, all right.
By the way, Pigskin Rob. Yes. since I'm a Giants fan, we all know what went on. I was kind of surprised that Coughlin wasn't let go. I think a lot of it had to do with Odell Beckham Jr. saving a lot of people's jobs, with the exception of Perry Fuel. With the Perry Fuel situation, this is a two-part. Do you feel that was kind of strange that they waited an extra week and then they let him go? And what do you feel about Steve Spags coming back? Because I love that they brought him back as a defensive coordinator.
You know, it's hard to say the timing of it. We don't have any – we're not privy to all that inside – dirt
True.
That really goes on, so you know, I'm not sure about how they handled it, if they've handled it poorly or not, but I do know the Giants have a sterling reputation for handling all of their hirings and firings. If there was a team that I'd be questionable about, it would be a team like the Jets. They're known to fumble and bumble and stumble when it comes to hirings and firings.
True.
I remember Bill Belichick was head coach for what, 2 days, and then he stepped down.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So I'll give, since we don't know what really goes on, I'll give the Giants the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I totally
on that.
And, yeah,
and
I
then
totally
when agree. When I think about Spags, hey, you know, they won a Super Bowl with him as
mm-hmm.
their D coordinator. They had great pass rushing, and they had a pretty average secondary back then with what, Aaron Ross and Corey Webster, and they were able
yeah,
to
I remember
beat
those
the,
guys.
Yeah, you beat the undefeated Patriots with that cornerback tandem. I would say that that D coordinator is a pretty sought-after guy. So, you know, I think that him coming back, he probably misses them just as much as they miss him. He did nothing in St. Louis.
Nope.
So,
no, St. Louis, Saints, and the Ravens just
yeah.
recently. So I think it's a marriage made in heaven, hopefully. And if you remember, the last time the defense was really any good. Now, I know that Perry Fuel that one year when we last won 2011, we went on a little run. I understand that. Obviously, that was because of OCU Menorah coming back at the right time. Defense got healthy at the right time. But I always liked Steve Spagnuolo because it's just his style of the way he has his defense. He does, you know, very aggressive and stuff like that. And it's more about the front defensive line than it is about the corners. That's the thing. Because if they're not doing their thing and you don't have good corners, then his defense don't mean nothing. But I still feel the Giants still have a lot of work to do, though. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, they definitely have a lot of work to do. And I think the formula when they were Super Bowl champions was that they had an assembly line of defensive ends that they could just roll in there, and
exactly.
and one would be
That's
fresher
what.
Than the next. If it wasn't
That's
Pierre
right.
Paul, it was
yeah.
Iunuka, it was Strahan, it was Uyunyara, it was all these guys. So.
Yep.
They have to get back to that because their pass rush right now is pretty pathetic. So, you know, that's
yeah.
number one.
That's true. And what do you feel that they're going to franchise JPP? Because I don't know. He wants a lot of money. And I don't know. The last few years, I know he was injured the last couple of years after 2011 when he had that breakout year, his second year, that Super Bowl run. But he hasn't been really the same since his back issues and stuff like that. Do you think the Giants are re-signing him?
Well, you know what? I think they should. They should franchise him. A lot of people
mm-hmm.
don't really know what the franchise tag is. It's basically a one-year deal,
yep.
so it's like a show me contract because
exactly.
you're
right.
only getting a one-year deal, but you're getting the top five average of the salaries at your position. So he'd be getting a big fat contract, but since it's only for 1 year, I think that would be good for the team to. to give him that. All right. Give you a big deal, but you know what? You gotta show us that you can play all 16, and then if you can, and you look better or more healthier, then we'll give you a long term deal that you want.
Absolutely. Yeah, talking to Football Rob here with us on the SLV show. Another return, another good stuff. Would not be appropriate unless I satisfied my Detroit Lions fans who've been waiting for you all season. What surprised you most about the Lions' play this year?
You know, they played mistake-free the whole year. That's something that really hampered them last year.
Right.
Matthew Stafford was a turnover machine last year, and then he just said, you know what, I'm going to stop doing that. And then all of a sudden, they were in the mix for the NFC North title up until the final week. And I also think that the Chicago Bears falling flat on their face really helped the cause for Detroit, because I thought Chicago coming into the season would have been a 10-11 win team, but that didn't happen. So you know they kind of lucked out on that end too. But I'd say overall they stopped beating themselves, they stopped making mistakes at costly times. And they got some good running game. They got a nice little duo with Joyke Bell and Reggie Bush to go along with the passing game. And Golden Tate was a really big find for them. He did better than anybody thought he could have. And he's you can't just double Calvin Johnson anymore and think that nobody else is going to gash you, because if you do that, then Golden Tate will make you pay.
And really quickly, also in the Lions, do you believe that they will re-sign Megatron?
Oh, they have to. He's the franchise. I don't even think it's a question. It's just a matter of dollars and cents and the years and stuff. He has to retire as a Detroit Lion, because if he doesn't, there'll be a lot of pissed off fans
and a lot of confused fans if that doesn't happen. As always, check him out.
Yes.
As we know, Football Rob. I believe the Twitter handle is football_Rob.
Yep.
Also, a contributor. Let everybody know where they can find you on the web. You know, he's a contributor to Sports Talk Florida. Let everybody know where they can check you out on the web as well, Football.
Yeah, you can check out all my articles, podcasts, and YouTube videos on the SportsTalkFlorida.com homepage. And I also picked up another gig at NFLSpinZone.com, so you can read more about my draft-related articles there, too.
Nice. Congrats.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate you checking in, and we're going to definitely have you back on before the Super Bowl, maybe the week before or next week. I'll definitely touch base with you on that, and we appreciate you spending some time with us, man.
Yes.
All right, no problem. Always a pleasure, guys.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you, Football Rob.
Football Rob, tuning in with us today.
Care. As always, great appearance.
Took it a little easy on him on the Detroit line. I think he realized his mistake.
Yeah, I mean, especially when he said the Bears.
It really
would
have been sweeter if the Lions would have won last week. They are still sitting here.
Yeah.
They were still sitting here playing the championship game. Would even hate to come at all.
That's a lot of egg to remove from the face.
Right. Remember, check them out. Rob_Football. God does a great job.
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit of NBA. Going to take any calls on the NBA, any calls on the NFL.
I hear a call coming from Yonkers.
Yeah, you know, we start talking football.
Yes.
You know, we'll get a phone call from Yonkers.
Yes.
Yeah, when we come back, when we get into that, we're going to also, I believe next week, as it seems, we're going to finally have a new girl, Lisa, will be coming in to do our sports
gossip
report.
All right.
Starting in next week.
Great.
This week, speaking of sports gossip, we're going to have to get into a little bit of this Greg Anthony mess. Greg Anthony, as you know, was arrested on a prostitution sting.
What an idiot.
Golden Tate is our gossip report. Golden Tate says, I did not have sex with Russell Wilson's wife.
taking the Bill Clinton approach. Okay.
Right. A-Rod says he's going to be the starting third baseman of the Yankees.
Nice to dream. Okay, go ahead.
The Steelers responsible for a death? Question mark.
Oh, what's up with that?
And so when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA stuff and what's going on there and how everything is looking and the surprises that's taking place as well.
Especially the one with the Knicks. Disgusting. Embarrassing.
I'm sure we will get a phone call from Yonkers, but I don't know why he would. I know. Why call up here and talk about the Knicks? There's nothing really to talk about. They should just lose the remaining of the games. That's what I do.
Yeah,
I lose every game left.
Why not? Why not?
You know,
And by the way, I would like for him to call because he knows his basketball, so he could talk about the other teams going on. You know.
Well, of course, he always knows the other teams, which at this point in time, let's be honest, a lot more exciting than the Knicks.
Different.
I want to find out, from him what happened in the Knicks, and hopefully he has an answer for me. And it's not Carmelo Anthony's injury, neither.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
The Knicks were going down way before that. So our insider, hopefully he'll call up our, as we like to call him, New York Knick insider. I'll be calling when we come back. So we'll get a word from our sponsor. If you notice here, I'm sitting around, I'm trying to waste time because I'm looking for what I wanted to go to.
I figure.
With everything here, I don't happen to see it. Okay, yes, I do happen to see it.
Oh, good.
We have to say congratulations out to the Ohio State Buckeyes, the Ohio State University, who went and marched in there, upset the Oregon Ducks. And as Chris Carter likes to say, we eat ducks for a living in Ohio. Congratulations to the Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll come right back with a little NBA talk. Ohio State fight song. Five nine five 4038, and welcome back to the SLV show.
Mm-hmm.
A little tribute there to the Ohio State Buckeyes and Cordell Jones, who actually announced that he was going back. Before we get into basketball, did that surprise you? Do you think he made the right decision in going back to Ohio State? Because as you know, he was the third string quarterback. And before he went down, Braxton Miller was considered to be the favorite for the Heisman Trophy.
Mm.
So now by Cordell going back to school, he's going to be pretty – I mean, can you really, after a guy who's won a national championship, shut out Wisconsin, beat Nick Saban, and then goes and wins a national championship, beats Oregon – can they really put a national championship-winning quarterback on the bench next year when they come back?
That's a good point. I don't know. I mean, for all that you just said there, I'm not too familiar with college football, but when they say you strike when the iron is hot, as they say in you know, the Steelers, not the football team, but the people that bend and make steel, I would think that you would jump on the opportunity to get paid and jump in the draft and take advantage, especially if you're coming from, you know, a background where you would want to support yourself and your family, this, that, and the third. Maybe, I guess, he sees himself as better than he is, and maybe he sees another lightning in the tunnel where he feels he'll get a better opportunity. But I agree with you. I would have left and just jump on the NFL draft and get my money. And because, I mean, there are teams out there that need a quarterback. I mean, you got Jacksonville, and some other teams that are horrible. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. I would have left. But maybe he feels a connection being in Ohio State. We don't know. Maybe his parents or something are telling him, look, you're going to get education, this, that, and a third. Even though I always believe if you're a decent athlete, you can always go back any time to
absolutely
get your degree.
You're going to school for what? To make money and have a career.
Exactly.
Well, you go in the NFL, you've now made millions, and you have a career. So what the hell do you need school for? You always go back later. But kudos to Cordell for going back. NBA now.
Stupid.
Before the season, okay, in the Eastern Conference, let me tell you how silly I look. And I'll be the first to admit, my nickname around the sports world is Know-It-All.
Man.
I'll show you how silly I look.
Show us how
I had the Cleveland Cavaliers finishing first.
Well,
I had the Chicago Bulls finishing second.
Who didn't?
Now, I did have the Raptors finishing third, and they are in the three slot right now.
Yeah. They're the only one representing.
And I also had the Miami Heat.
Oh, boy, they haven't been that good.
Out of the playoffs, I had the Atlanta Hawks. I had the Milwaukee Bucks definitely out. Okay. The Atlanta Hawks are 32-8.
How's that possible?
32-8. They've won 11 straight.
Oh, my God. Even I didn't know that. That's how much I've been paying attention
to
basketball.
11 straight. Now,
horrible.
Washington, of course, is 5 games behind them in the Eastern Conference. I do believe that when it's all said and done, the Atlanta Hawks, there's no way they can continue to play like this. Either
Al
Horford to get hurt, you know, something is going to happen to Atlanta. They're going to come back to life. I like the Toronto Raptors. They've been doing all of this. They just got back DeMar DeRozan. He was out this entire time, so you got to like the way they're going. Plus, they got Drake. How can you go wrong with Drake? You know, all on the sidelines cheering on with the lint brush.
Yeah, that's your boy. That's your boy.
That's my boy, me and Drizzy. We're cool.
Hope he keeps out
Chicago,
the
Chicago Bulls. now, it's very interesting in Chicago because Derrick Rose, out of nowhere comes my guy. When I put up this poll question about 3 years ago out of who would be a better player, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, or Jimmy Butler. And I think I was the only one that said Jimmy Butler. Everyone said, nah, you're crazy, Paul George. I just saw things in Jimmy Butler. I just saw back then, even when they lost that series to the Heat with LeBron in 5 games, I said, man, this Jimmy Butler has got guts. He's right up in LeBron's face. He's not scared to take shots. He remains aggressive. And now that Derrick Rose had got hurt, Jimmy Butler is now the main option on that team now.
Yep.
They add in Gasol, who's had a great season. He's really fitting well with them. But the one thing about the Bulls, Joakim Noah, this move with Gasol has really hurt Joakim Noah. I mean, number one, he's been hurt. We understand that. He has not had a good season.
No,
you know, coming off having the great season what he had last year, he has not had a good season. We know all the stuff that's going on in Cleveland with the coach situation, David Blatt, and all the rumors about the guys are trying to pretty much commit mutiny over there and get him fired. LeBron sat out 2 weeks. He came back. Has looked extraordinary. He's averaged 33 points a game since coming back. Mm-hmm. So they looked as though to probably get on a run. I'm still waiting on Kyrie Irving's annual, you know, 3-week stint to the disabled list.
DL.
That will happen sooner or later.
Yeah, we thought that was going to happen a couple of weeks ago when he got a little hurt in one game with his
right.
knee, but it wasn't that bad.
But the NBA, I'm going to tell you, well, I'll get to some calls. The NBA, a lot of surprises around the league. The San Antonio Spurs, the West is better than what I thought. I knew the West would be good.
That was good.
I knew the West would be good. But hold this as a perspective. The Brooklyn Nets are 17-23, and they're in the eighth hole in the Eastern Conference. The Phoenix Suns are in the eighth hole of the West, and they're playing 570 basketball. 24-18 in the eighth hole.
So
the New Orleans Pelicans,
words,
who I picked to go to the playoffs, they're 19-20. They're one game under, and Anthony Davis has been out.
That's still a dumb team name. I'm sorry. They should have never done that. Pelicans is a dumb name.
Oklahoma City has struggled, and which I thought they would at the beginning of the year, especially with injuries. And I said that by the time these guys come back, you know, another thing that people said I was crazy, oh, they're only going to be out a month. Oh, Durant's only going to be out a month.
Mm-hmm.
Then Westbrook got hurt.
Yep.
They're 19-20. They're 13 games out of the first seed. So, no, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, in their division, let's see, I believe they're in the division of Portland.
Okay.
They are 10.5 out of – they'll never win that division.
Oh, no, hell no.
Portland's 30-10. They're picking right up where they left last year.
Man.
Golden State, 31-6. Steve
Very
Kerr is going to be head coach of the year. No, maybe if Atlanta finishes the first seed, I'm going to say that Budenholzer will be the coach of the year in Atlanta because no one expected that.
Well, how about the All-Star game when they have, you know, usually the team with the best record coaches, the All-Star team? Would it be the guy from – it would be Steve Kerr, right? Oh, that's the West Coast. But how about the East Coast? It would be the Hawks then, right?
Yeah, it would be Steve Kerr and be Mike Budenholzer from Atlanta.
Look at that.
32-8. And I don't think no one's catching him before then. Got to find out. Maybe we'll take some calls and find out what the hell happened here, you know, with – these dudes. 646-595-4038. A man from Staten Island. Maybe he can tell us what the hell is going on with the Hawks. Kermit! Staten Island, you are
Staten
on
Staten Island?
Show.
I'm from Yonkers, man.
Yonkers, yeah, Yonkers. I'm going to say
Staten Island. Oh, man, but what's going on?
Yonkers, home of the Locks and DMX and all of those people.
Yeah, man. Mary J. Blige, Tommy Dreamer,
Mary J. Blige,
Westwood.
Let's see, Staten
Island, man. Jimmy Hayes, I think you should check Heaven's cup. He might have some Henny in there, man, thinking I'm from Staten Island, man.
No, the only reason I said that is because I looked at the screen. I had a Staten Island call came right in under yours. Then at the same time, Jimmy Hayes drops off the line. I think I got him back. So,
oh, wow.
I think he's back on.
Yeah,
I'm
back
on. So, I just made the cardinal rule.
Happy New Year,
brother. I'm sitting here saying, my man from Yonkers all the time. And then he comes on, I go, my man from Staten Island, Curran's on the line. I wish
Very
I
good.
Had that. Is that on extra soundbite over here?
Yes, it's under, I put it on Hot Sugar, by the way.
Okay, I'm going to do this for Kermit, just so I'll, because I made the mistake. Let's see here. Don't tell him what it is.
I ain't saying nothing.
Okay. All right. So, my man from Staten Island, Kermit, is on the line with us on the SLV show.
What did you say, nigga?
No.
Happy New Year. Welcome back. Hope 2015 brings y'all some good things with the show and takes you guys to unimaginable levels with the show. It's a great show.
We appreciate all the support, man. Before we get into your Knicks, what the hell is going on with the Atlanta Hawks? Now, I know you did say they would be a playoff team because, you know, Al Horford. But there's got to be more than just Al Horford. What has happened to Atlanta
Actually, to tell you the truth, I didn't have them in the playoffs. I mean, you talked about how your eight teams in the East, that it's, you know, that it's not where, you know, where it looks like now. Mine's is worse. I have the Knicks as a fifth seed. Yours is looks a lot better than mine because I didn't have the Hawks in the playoffs.
Neither did I.
This is a surprise. I mean, I didn't see this coming. You couldn't tell me they were going to be the number one seed in the East at this point of the season. And, I mean, this, the Budenholzer, you got these guys working. They believe in the system. They believe in him. They have two point guards, in my opinion, that are very talented. They get to the paint, and they create for others, and that's Teague and Schroeder. I think Schroeder has potential to be a starter in this league.
I'm glad he's very talented. I'm glad you brought that up because, to me, that's the big difference. Jeff Teague is extremely improved. You know, to me, that's the big difference. Teague, his first couple of years, did not look like he was going to pan out. But last year in the playoffs is where I really took notice of him. And you are absolutely right, Kerman. He has taken his game to another level. He's one of the five best point guards right now, and definitely in the Eastern Conference. And remember, Budenholzer is a disciple of Greg Popovich. Do you think they could keep it up, though?
I don't know, man, because I have to see it to believe it. I've been a fan of basketball since, I would say, 88, and I've been consistently watching it since then every season, especially when, like, 90, 91, and I've never in my life seen the NBA as wide open as it is right now. I think there are so many teams that can win it. It would have shocked me if you see a 4 seed and a 3 seed in the NBA Finals, and that's something that you probably see in the NCAA tournament only. In the Final Four. I mean, Atlanta's playing great, Golden State is playing great, but I still think that San Antonio is a scary team. I mean, they were without Kawhi Leonard for a long time. The first 18 games they were without Kawhi Leonard, they were 9-9, and I think he's a bigger key than people think. They're a totally different team when Kawhi Leonard's there. They're actually a championship contending team when, you know, he's playing there, because before they drafted him, they lost, if I'm right, in the first round against Memphis. So he's actually a big difference to that team. And I strongly believe that if San Antonio can get healthy, they're a team that's going to come out the West. And in the East, I still believe, as crazy as it sounds, I still believe that there's a chance that the Cavs can come out. The same struggles that the Cavs are going through right now, Miami went through.
Yeah, they were
going through it. And then the next thing you know, it's like when Spo and LeBron had that little situation where kind of LeBron walked by Spo and he kind of shoved him by accident. From there, they just blast off and they went straight to the
NBA
Finals.
And now, ironically, the same thing just happened.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, gun to my head, I might have to go to Washington Wizards coming out of the East. I can't see Portland. I like Portland a lot, but I can't see them beating a healthy San Antonio team. But I think San Antonio has a better shot of getting to the NBA Finals than the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I don't think Atlanta's going to continue this. I could see someone like a Horford getting hurt or a Teague getting hurt or something like that.
Right. We're talking we like to call him our Knicks insider, Kerman from Yonkers, not Staten Island. Of course, my adopted team over in the West, not to the dismay of Jimmy Ace, who hates the center, the Houston Rockets. What do you feel about Houston? Like I said, to me, James Harden's the MVP right now. If you took a vote, to me, he's the MVP of the league. And what do you see? The other night, he absolutely took apart his old team. What do you think of Houston going forward now that they came to their senses and moved Josh Smith to the bench, and he's the first guy off of the second unit? And has OKC fell too far behind, and will they ever get this Durant-Westbrook thing together? Because as dynamic as Westbrook is, I can't take anything from him. As dynamic as Westbrook is, there's something about them two together that just does not click. I don't know what it is. I can't put my hands on it. People look at me and say, oh, you're crazy. There's something that does not click with the two. What's your take on those? I know there's a lot of subjects.
I think both teams have a shot to make it to the finals. Houston, let's start with Houston. I mean, first of all, Harden, he's improved so much on defense. You don't hear no defensive jokes on him. They have Trevor Ariza, who's a better defensive player than Parsons. They have Josh Smith coming off the bench, which I thought that was a good pickup, even though a lot of people didn't think that. They're going after Brook Lopez. And I don't know why, because they already have Dwight Howard, but there's rumors that they're going after Brook Lopez. But their players have improved. I mean, Dwight Howard is having he's having a Dwight Howard type of season. But Harden has improved a lot, and it's improved the whole team. And they have some young guns coming off the bench still. They have Terrence Jones and Demo, and they both play defense, and they both can score. So I can see Houston going to the finals. They have a shot. And OKC, they added Dion Waiters. They really go for it. They're another team that's going after Brook Lopez. They were very close. There was a three-way deal with Charlotte, Brooklyn, and OKC. OKC and Charlotte said okay to the deal, and Brooklyn said no. They didn't like the deal at the end of the day, which they would have added Lance Stevenson and Kendrick Perkins, but they wanted to flip Kendrick Perkins to Minnesota for Thaddeus Young, but they couldn't get that deal to go. And OKC is trying to add pieces to they're trying to add pieces to their team to go for it this season, you know, and they have a shot. Like I said before, the NBA is wide open right now. I've never in my life seen the NBA wide open. Usually we have 2-3 teams that can make it to the finals, maybe 4, but this year we all got a good 8 teams that can make it to the finals.
Totally agree. As far disagree on OKC only because I don't like them. I'm just going to always going to say that.
I don't know why people say Westbrook is not a point guard. To me, Westbrook is a point guard. He's just not.
No, he's a point guard.
The best point
guard. Totally agree.
The guy put up 15 points, 15 assists, and 15 rebounds last night. That's something that only Jason Kidd, Rondo, Larry Bird, and maybe a few others have ever done. I mean, this guy is talented, man. He just has to mature and get better, but OKC is dangerous. The worst thing they ever did was get rid of James Harden.
My point is this.
I don't blame Westbrook and Durant. I blame that owner.
I'll tell you this. Harden trade to me should have never been done. They pretty much banked on Serge Ibaka. And Serge Ibaka to me is not a difference maker. You can find a Serge Ibaka. There's a lot of Serge Ibakas around. Okay? It's not like he's a post-present. He's no post-present. Now he's turned himself into the West Coast Chris Bosh. He's shooting 25-foot three-pointers, 23-foot jumpers. You don't need that. The big man position is going to be obsolete in 5 years. It's not even going
to
exist.
When's
the last time Blake Griffin dunked on someone? He doesn't even dunk anymore. I'm seeing him shoot 22-foot jump shots. Big man in the NBA?
That's why OKC was going after Brook Lopez, which I think would have been a big move for them. If Brook Lopez is healthy, he can score in the block. And I don't think the whole big man thing is going to be obsolete with Jahlil Okafor getting into the league, because Jahlil Okafor knows that his game is in the low post, and he has no game in the perimeter, and he knows that's his bread and butter, and he's very good at it. In my opinion, Jahlil Okafor is bored down at the post. And Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are two players that play in the post as well, even though Anthony Davis has guard-like abilities, but they play in the post, and they're going to be in this league for a very long time. So I don't think, you know, I think the post is going to get a lot better, because you have guys like Hibbert and Dwight Howard, and they are not as good posting up like the guys that I just mentioned.
Now, really quickly, and like I said, my thing with OKC is – I don't, and as you mentioned, I don't want them to get Brook Lopez. You know why? Because that would give them a better chance of winning a championship, and I don't want them to win a championship. Obviously. Because I feel as though they should have never traded James Harden, and I don't feel as though this whole Westbrook Durant thing is going to work, because personally, as much as people hate to stay away from controversy, I just don't think Russell Westbrook likes Kevin Durant very much.
I agree.
I think Kevin Durant likes Westbrook way more.
Yes.
I mean, Just a little thing. Did you see the MVP? Did you see when he was up there crying and he was saying how good Russell was? Did you see Russell Westbrook's expression? He was sitting there like, yeah, nigga, whatever.
I don't think
he likes Kevin Durant very much.
I think it's overblown. I think it's nitpicking. I think when two players as great as they are do not win or have not won, it's easy to pick on them and say things like you're saying right now.
If
Pippen and Jordan were around now, and they're facing the Pistons and losing to the Pistons in the playoffs, the media and the internet that we have now would have been picking on Pippen and Jordan the same way they're picking on Westbrook and Durant. People would have been going, oh, Pippen and Jordan can't play together. They need to trade Jordan. Oh, they need to trade Pippen. They need to buy Phil Jackson. Would have done the same thing.
Yep,
but they need to get rid of one of them. Going on to the Knicks. You did call Knicks tank weeks ago. So I would see you have no issue. You have no issue in what's going on right now. Of course, if you have an issue, of course you don't want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to lose, of course. But
of course not.
What do you think of, you know, what's going to take place? What do the Knicks need to do? And Derek Fisher, you know, are you willing to move forward with Derek Fisher? Do you think that he's done a worse job than you thought? And what needs to happen next year? Don't tell me about 2016, because then Durant's coming. What needs to happen next year?
First of all, I don't think they were trying to tank. I honestly think they were trying to win all along, especially in November and December, but they just weren't good enough to win. They couldn't apply it to the offense, and they couldn't apply it to the defense, the system of both the offense and the defense. And then when January came, it was like, you know what, it's time. You know, this team is not going anywhere. We have a chance at a top pick, so let's just trade everyone off. And they traded JR and they traded Shumpert in a cash dump. And in a lot of ways, trying to do the same with Calderon and others. What we need is we need a top three pick in the draft, specifically the number one pick to select Okafor. There's this kid out of China. His name is Emmanuel Mudiay. I'm telling you guys now, remember the name Emmanuel Mudiay. This guy is a prototypical point guard with Westbrook ability. He finds the open man a lot better than a Westbrook, and he can fly like Westbrook. I feel he's very, very talented. And then you have Karl Towns from Kentucky, who reminds me a lot like a Andrew Bogut, where he can play defense, but he can also play offense. And he's a big man that can pass the ball. And obviously in the triangle, if you have a big man, a 7-footer that can pass the ball, you know, it's a great fit. And there's other guys like D'Angelo Russell from Ohio State, who's a combo guard, Brandon Roy type, that I wouldn't mind having on the Knicks. Now, first it starts with the draft of the Knicks. If you go with Okafor, I don't think it makes sense to bring in a Gasol or Aldridge to play with Melo. I don't think that's a good mix. If you don't get the number one pick, and let's just say you get the number two or number three pick, and you end up drafting a Karl Towns, I think Karl Towns can fit it with a LaMarcus Aldridge. Or better yet, if you get a Mudiay, or young point guard, then you have to focus your free agency on the front court. So, and if you get an Okafor, and let's just say, in my opinion, a good guy that could fit with Okafor and Melo is Draymond Green from Golden State. Draymond Green is a guy that can give you 12 points, 8 rebounds, a three-pointer a game, a steal a game, a block a game, and give you about 3 assists a game. He's like a new-age Charles Oakley type of a guy. And then if you get that type of front court, and you draft then you can focus your free agency on a guy like a Wesley Matthews. He's another guy that I like. Wesley Matthews is a two-way guy. Draymond Green, two-way guy. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, Marc Gasol might be a reach. Rondo might be a reach. I think Reggie Jackson is gone from OKC. He wants to start. He wants big money. And the Knicks like him. I can see him coming to New York. And in this free agents class, there's a lot of two-way players. They may not be superstars, but there's a lot of two-way players. But getting Okafor or Mudiay in the draft, especially Okafor, is mandatory. We must get that. And then from there, that would take on what do we do on free agency. But it's hard to say what the Knicks should do on free agency when you have the draft, and the draft is very important to us.
Absolutely.
Kerman, man, good stuff as always, man.
I wanted to say one last thing. Guys, I want to say one last thing. My picks for the Super Bowl is Pats and Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Before the season started, it was Colts and Seahawks. I do not see Aaron
Rodgers.
Me too.
Hey, we all have the Colts.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. See?
Yeah, I'm going with the Seahawks. I'm hoping it's the Colts and Seahawks though. But I don't want the pass to win. I don't want the pass. Just like Jimmy Ace, I don't like nothing from Boston unless Boston cream donuts or something like that.
That's the only thing I like from Boston. Exactly. So we have to make sure we get to the Super Bowl. I'm happy that Spags is back with the Giants too.
What happened? Thank you.
Yeah, he's happy for Spags coming back to the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
That's all I wanted to say, though. That's all. I'm done.
Absolutely,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, go.
Kevin, as always,
great
man,
call,
thanks
Kevin.
For all the support. Yeah,
happy New Year.
Check you next week, brother.
Nick's Tank? That's right. Nick's Tank.
He did say that.
Great call.
Weeks ago.
Yep.
Even before the Knicks, I believe at the time the Knicks were like 5-20.
50. Yeah, I was going to say.
And he said Knicks Tank way back then.
Well, he saw the writing on the wall before I did.
And I think they've won one game since then. How are the Knicks that bad?
I'm telling you, it's that inner circle. I don't know what it is. Something going on behind the scenes. I'm telling you. I don't know what the hell it is.
646-595-4038.
You know?
Yeah, anybody holding on, you want to talk, you got to raise your hands.
Yeah, you got to press one.
So, right now, I'm taking a look at, as we go back to the Ohio State stuff, Urban Meyer or Nick Saban. I'm putting it out there for people to tweet in, and we'll read it off next week. Who do they think is now the best head coach in college football? You know, Nick Saban usually treated like a god.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Urban Meyer, you know, went up there. Well, not went up there. He didn't go to Alabama. But he played Alabama. Yeah. Pretty much mopped Alabama with a third-string quarterback. I mean, so Urban Meyer is now, in a lot of people's eyes, being looked at as, you know, the number one guy in college football. This Greg Anthony stuff, and if you tuned in late or you have yet to hear, Greg Anthony, former UNLV running rebel.
The Nick news continues to be bad. Go ahead.
Right.
The curse.
And, of course, he was, I believe, he worked for ESPN for a while.
Yeah. Well, he's been on NBA TV.
He's been on NBA TV. Very good analyst. You know, I always thought that he was, you know, before Jalen Rose came in, I thought that he was the best analyst. I think he took a step back with that whole situation with, I believe he had a falling out with ESPN or TNT. There was a lot of, friction going on between those two. But he got arrested, you know, in what they call a prostitution
sting.
And they're saying that he used online ads. He used online ads for Hooker.
What?
And the cops busted him at Double Tree.
Come on. That is so stupid.
Greg Anthony, I'm sure you're making six, maybe even seven figures on TV.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And it says breaking here at the D.C. Police Department said Greg Anthony arrested during prostitution sting at Double Tree Hotel.
Did he have the mugshot out? I gotta check that out.
We have to see if he had the mugshot. We're going to just want to throw that out there. We'll do some more stuff next week. We'll have Lisa's going to have all of the gossip stuff. She'll be up on all of that. This was a great return.
Yes, it was.
Don't forget
big return
tonight to check out Hot Sugar, 11 p.m.
Hot Sugar. That's right. Hot Sugar.
With myself and Dan Morrell, Ari Good, and Miss O.D.
Miss O.D.
And we'll be back in. Any parting shots?
Yes, I am glad to hear Aunt Esther on Dahlhaus Radio, and I hope to hear a lot more of her, especially tonight at Hot Sugar. It was great.
Man, everyone
my dream
else,
has come true.
We want to thank everybody. For joining in. Just make sure you check out Hot Sugar on Dahlhaus Radio tonight. Of course, Dahlhaus Radio now 17 shows weekly. Check all the shows out, or check out the roster on DollhouseRadio.com. Signing off for the SLV show, of course. I am your host, the closer, Evan Hollywood Clark. And signing off for my partner in crime this week, Jimmy A. Shout out to the comic Adam D. Parsons, and we will see everybody next week.
Yes, and ladies and tomatoes.
Ladies.
What are we waiting for? Let's go.
Where are you going, Rocky?
There you go, Rocky. You can win, Rocky.
All right. Hot sugar.
Yeah, bye, buddy.
Ladies.